10. Trojan Horse. It took less than half a day. Unable to sleep, I got up around 4 and occupied myself answering mail that had piled up from family and friends. I was writing a note to Card when the screen chimed and a red exclamation point started to strobe in the upper right-hand corner. I asked for news, but then toggled Life Today rather than the Times. Inch-high letters as red as the strobe. Triton monster threatens Earth doom. Martian go-between reveals all. I started to read the story, but it kept blurring. How could they do this? The phone pinged, and it was Paul.
Sorry to wake.
I'm awake. I saw.
Jesus. What do we do now?
I think the question is, what is it going to do now?
Yeah.
Damn. Meet me down at the coffee?
There'll be a run on it.
I dressed in a hurry and pinned my hair out of the way. He was waiting for me with a cup. I got one sip and both our phones went off simultaneously. It was Ishan Zanjiani, the Earthside Science Coordinator.
This is a general announcement. I want everybody, human and Martian, to be at Earth A. On Mars side, or Assembly A, on this side, in 45 minutes at 5:30. I'm afraid this may be a matter of life and death.
The combination of tepid coffee on an empty stomach and bad news sent me rushing to the head. After I'd emptied that out, I felt better, but my skin was cold and greasy and my hands were trembling. Paul came out of the other head, and he didn't look much better than I felt. I looked into my cup. I'd like to have one cup of coffee that was actually hot before I die.
Better do it now.
He sat down heavily.
Sorry.
Gallows humor's better than no humor at all. I looked at my wrist. We've got 40 minutes. I nodded at the ladder toward my room.
No, I couldn't. Thanks, but I couldn't.
Me neither, actually.
I rubbed tears away. I could kill that bitch!
We should have grabbed her and thrown her to Red.
Yeah.
I laughed, but it didn't sound like a laugh. Not that it would change anything. Speak of the devil, my phone pinged and it was Red.
Common. Com says there's a message coming in from Triton. I think we should be at Earth A early, as close to now as possible.
We're down at the mess, I said. Beat you there. Paul nodded and stood and followed me up the ladder. Only Oz and Moonboy were there before us. Oz gave me a wan smile.
Josie will be along. She takes a few minutes to wake up.
The cube was on, but it was a blank blue. Red said, they're getting some communication from Triton.
Maybe it will be, send me the head of Dargo Solingen.
Wonder if she'll be here.
No. Zanjiani invented house arrest and put her under it. She's locked in her room with no contact with the outside world. Josie or I come by every 3 hours to take her to the head and give her bread and water.
She'll sue, if any of us live through this.
Let me be a character witness, Moonboy said. I've been her special little project for about 10 years.
I wondered how many of us there were. Ishan Zanjiani appeared on the cube and looked at us.
No Martians yet?
Red's on his way, Dr. Zanjiani. He said there was a message.
He nodded.
It started 5 or 6 minutes ago. We're recording.
His image suddenly dissolved in a shower of static, and the room lights flickered. Paul crouched instinctively.
Shit. What's that?
Hello?
Zanjiani's voice came out of the swirling white noise. Then his image returned.
That was...
He inclined his head and touched an ear.
Oh my God! Do we have a picture?
The cube went black and then showed a familiar sight. The Hubble planetary camera's view of Neptune,
an almost featureless blue ball accompanied by the tiny, pale circle of Triton and specks of light that were Nereid and a couple of other small satellites. Then, Triton exploded. The pale circle suddenly was a ball of intense white that grew brighter and brighter, and then the screen went white with static. It darkened again, and a woman's voice said, "This is real time now." It took a moment for those words to make sense. Real time, not recorded. The view was the same as before, but the dot of Triton was surrounded by a glowing circle, visibly expanding as we watched. Red was standing in the door.
"What's happening?"
"Maybe you can tell us," Paul said.
"Your other evidently did something interesting."
Zanjiani came back into the cube.
"That explosion reached a brightness of -27 magnitude. For a moment, it was slightly brighter than the sun."
40 times as far away," Paul said. "So, for a moment, it was putting out 1,600 times as much energy as the sun. How could it do that?"
"Perhaps Red can tell us," Zanjiani said. "This is the message it sent. A few words of English, and then the slowed-down Martian."
He nodded at someone.
"We've sped up the Martian for you."
The David Brinkley voice again.
"I monitor your news broadcasts, of course, and the most recent ones have forced me to make a decision. I am sorry. You already know too much."
Then there was about 2 minutes of accelerated Martian, and then static. Red didn't say anything.
"What did it do?"
Zanjiani asked.
"It went home."
He hugged himself.
"It may have literally returned to its home system. Or it died. The words could be the same, as if you say someone has returned to Earth, he could be going to a planet or being buried. On going home, it destroyed every trace of its technology that was on Triton. It didn't want to risk humans finding it and copying it."
He paused and continued in a halting monotone.
"It did this even in the knowledge that soon there will be no humans alive on Earth. The 100 on Mars will presumably live."
I swallowed back bile. "What's it going to do, Red?"
"It's already done."
He rocked back and forth.
"I'm sorry. I swear I didn't know. I didn't suspect."
He shook his head.
"Didn't know what, Red?"
Oz said. "Is there anything we can do?"
"I am a time bomb. A Trojan horse. The other wanted me on Earth, or nearby, before it turned on the beacon that started all this. So that, if things didn't work out, I could be forced to put an end to it."
"How can that be?" Paul said. "Even if all your mass was turned into an explosion..."
"I mass about 100 kilograms. By MC squared, that comes to 9 × 10⁻⁸ joules. That's equivalent to 2,000 megaton nuclear weapons. Earth could survive that, since we're 22,000 miles away from the surface. But fusion doesn't begin to describe the forces involved. Could fusion have accounted for the Triton explosion?"
"I guess not," Paul said.
"No, of course not. Did it say how big, how destructive you could be?"
"Enough to boil away the ocean on the side of the globe we're facing. Blow off a lot of the atmosphere. The other side would perish too."
"When?" I asked.
"Days."
He shook his head.
"Maybe 2, maybe 3. The energy doesn't come from here. It's bleeding off a thing like a black hole in an adjacent universe. We've been using it domestically since we first came to Mars."
"The mysterious power source for all the machines," Oz said. "The light for the hydroponics."
"I suppose. I knew nothing about it until today. But the other says it had another thing like me on Triton, and it only drew off power for a couple of hours, concentrating it for the explosion. This will be orders of magnitude more.
With all due respect, Red, Moonboy said, we should lock you into the shuttle right now and fling you as far away as possible.
Red agreed.
That might be the most practical course. Or you could kill me, or I could kill myself, in case the collection process requires me to be alive. But the other didn't say anything about either possibility. It could be that I would explode prematurely, automatically, if I died or left the vicinity of Little Mars.
Which might be desirable, Josie said. If it caused an explosion with less force, we would die, but the Earth might be spared.
Red nodded.
I can't say one way or the other.
I tried to listen with Dargo's skeptical ears. The other might have been lying to him. Or Red might be lying to us. It could just be a test, I said, the other observing to see how we react to this extremity.
If it were a human or a Martian, I would say that was possible.
Red shook his head.
Not the other. I don't think we have any hope in that direction. Moonboy is right. I should be sent away, but I don't know that I can go far enough in 2 days.
I have an idea, Paul said. He licked his lips and stared straight ahead. Let's use the shuttle, but put Red on the other side of the moon. Get 3,000 kilometers of solid rock between Earth and the explosion.
Ha, ha. Perfect. I'll do it now.
You're not doing it yourself. You need a pilot.
Paul,
we don't need the whole shuttle, just the Mars lander. We'll compute the right time for a slingshot transfer and have it blow the separation bolts at that instant. We do the transfer, and I come in ass backwards. Kill velocity. Look for a place I can land with skis.
It's suicide, Moonboy said.
No, I can do it. Plenty of smooth areas on Farside. I'll take a few weeks' life support. If Red doesn't blow up, the Tsiolkovsky will be coming in with a pilot next week. She can come get us.
You don't have to be aboard, I said, trying to keep the pleading out of my voice. You can pilot by VR.
Afraid not. No repeater satellites. Once I'm on the other side of the moon, I'm out of contact with here. It's seat of the pants. Just look and do. I'm confident I can land it.
And if you're wrong, Red said, we'll just crash. That might set off the explosion, or it might prevent it.
You're so cheerful, I snapped.
We don't agree about death, he said.
We had argued about that, on Mars and here. He invoked the human philosopher Seneca, saying that he had not existed for 13.7 billion years and apparently didn't mind that state. One spark of a couple of centuries' life, and he'd be back to not existing for some trillions of years, and would enjoy it as much as the previous billions.
Which leads to a solution, he said. Paul, if we just set up the thing to crash on the other side of the moon, we won't need a pilot. I'll just be the cargo. Dying is not so important to me.
Relief washed over me.
Red, that's great! You don't have to be a fucking hero, Paul!
Paul didn't look at me, but he wasn't looking at anybody. When he spoke, it was like a class recitation. Red, I appreciate it, but it's not a simple computation. The Mars lander was not built for this, and it will be out of touch for the most crucial phases.
So he crashes, I said.
He just said no. With one kind of mistake he crashes, but with most others he stays in orbit. It's not like dropping a ball. Things in orbit tend to stay in orbit, at least in the short term. And whenever he was not directly behind the moon, he'd be the doomsday machine for Earth.
How long would the flight take?
Oz asked. I could get it down to a day, and still have plenty of fuel for the landing maneuver.
We'd better get busy.
Could I come? His face was completely still.
No, darling.
Minimum life support. Maximum maneuverability. He stepped toward me and took me in his arms. He whispered, speaking slowly and carefully. Only I could hear. We had a wonderful time while we had it. Better than most people ever get. The last word whistled as his voice cracked.
You know, I am not so far away from Red with the dying thing. I love you so, and if it has to end, we'll regret the years we would have had together. Do miss them already. But at worst, in one instant, I'll only be back to where I will spend most of forever anyhow.
I was crying, and didn't try to say anything other than the obvious.